I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. A global crisis. Yes, globalization is a crisis at all times. We've seen it before in history, and we've failed. Here we are again. Interconnectedness has led to disorder and piracy. A new book, Time's Up, An Uncivilized Solution to a Global Crisis, is an answer to the present unmaintainable direction we're moving in the superstates, the large technological states that are trying and rushing to bring up the vast majority of the 6 billion people to a level where they can eat every day. We're not there. Keith Farnish is the author. Time's Up is the book. And Keith, a very good evening and congratulations to you. You have specialized language in your book, and I want to begin there. You use the word connect and disconnect, connectedness and disconnection. How do you mean those, Keith?
Well, by connectedness, and good evening, John, it's good to talk to you. By connectedness, I'm talking about the natural state of humanity. It's nothing special. It's nothing that you have to really fight to maintain, although in the industrial world, we're certainly having a struggle to maintain that connectedness. But if you look back through the history of humanity, it's the connection between humanity and the rest of the natural world that's allowed it to be maintained. It's when you have a deep connection with the world around you, you are able to survive. It's this disconnect we now have is largely because of a number of things that are placed between us and the natural world. We're able to survive at the moment this disconnection because we have all these systems in place,
right,
which feed us.
All right, let's use some examples, Keith, because disconnection has a roadmap, and you lay it out in 10 points, and by the time we work through this roadmap, it will become obvious to people that what we regard as civilization is a threat to our sense of unity, our sense of order. First of all, reward us for being good consumers. How do you mean that, and why does that disconnect us?
Right. Well, we are considered by us, by industrial civilization, to be consumers. It's not so much the fact that the word is wrong, it's the way it's used. So we are treated as consumers rather than just ordinary people. We're sold all sorts of devices to make us happy. And the return for that we get is this short buzz of artificial happiness.
Right, shopping.
Which rewards us.
Right. Let's connect it to the second point that leads to disconnection, which is to make us feel good for doing trivial things. That's pretty obvious. Yes, of course. They reward us for drinking water.
Well, that's some reward in itself, getting clean water in some places. But
Not spending money for water, Keith.
Ah, I see what you're talking about, bottled water and things like that. Yes. Well, these trivial things are, it's a way of making you feel you're doing good when you're not. And this is in the essence of things like greenwashing. The particular example I use is recycling, where we become obsessed with recycling, not realizing that, in fact, by recycling all the time, it's distracting us from doing anything more sufficient, more substantial. So we become a world of light green consumers, in effect.
Give us selected freedom. Pretend we have a choice here. Five, sell us a dream. What does that mean?
Selling us a dream is essentially the world of advertising. It's the many different words, such as, well, the American dream is an obvious one. The American dream is something that we have been told we should achieve.
Right.
Yet there is nothing in there that's actually concrete. It's just something we must achieve. And this dream will never get reached because as soon as we feel we're getting there, we're going to have something else tacked onto it, and we'll have to keep going and going and going.
Six, exploit our trust, and that connects immediately to seven, lie to us. That's pretty obvious, straightforward. The investigation of Tony Blair with regard to the Iraq War is an example of that. And in America, there are too many examples. Eight, scare us. Well, that sounds like the Bush administration.
So certainly. The Bush administration, the McCarthy era, anything that can somehow bring out this visceral fear of the unknown.
Right, the terror threats, the color-coded terror threats. Did that reach you? Did that reach you in the UK? Did they try the color-coded?
Oh, yes. I mean, we've gone up to, I'm not sure what we've gone
up
to.
No, you're at severe.
Whatever the second highest one is.
Right, you're at severe right now. I'm certain you're watching your window as we speak.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, we could go to imminent any moment.
Yes, okay.
Thoroughly terrified.
Nine, abuse us. How so, Keith?
Well, abuse is where we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. So this is physical abuse. This is corporate and state-sanctioned abuse. This is slavery. This is the way that corporations are effectively running wars in order to gain resources. And all of these things that really try and, at the last minute, if we'd really somehow managed to connect, then the big guns come out. You're not going to do it. You're not going to live the way you want to live, and we're going to make sure you don't.
And 10 would be give up hope. So we're going to move from that back to how we got here. Keith, you identify that we have a situation now. We are in a global situation right now where individuals require, I read here, 230,000 to 273,000 kilocalories needed per individual each day. That's the technological society we live in. That's unsustainable, correct?
Absolutely. It's an enormous amount, and it's not just the American way, it's the Canadian way, it's the British way, it's the Australian way, and it's not just the amount of food you're eating or the amount of oil you're consuming, it's all the things that go into making up this complex technological society, the systems, the layers that maintain it for us.
And this technological society, there's been an increase in how many kilocalories per individual from the hunter-gatherer, which you estimated about 5,000 kilocalories. So you're looking at a metric about how much it is, how much it costs of resources to sustain a civilized person or a person who's operating in the highest possible fashion on the planet at the time. But we're in a place that's not sustainable. So let's go to what it is that you see happening all around us here in the 21st century. You mention climate change, and you also mention politics. I want to seize on climate change because that's sort of independent of politics at the moment. The politicians cannot agree on anything about it. What about climate change obliges you to think that time is up?
Well, climate change seeps into all sorts of natural systems that we have. I explored things like the creeping of the forest northward, plus the effect of the bark beetles that are killing the more southwards forests. I'm talking about the warming up of the oceans, which are affecting the ability of fish to breed healthily. The climate change affects the things like nematodes, which attack crops, and warming up gives them the ability to move faster and move to places they could never move before. It's everywhere at every single scale, and you don't necessarily have to be a scholar of the science behind it. You really just have to look at the physical changes on the ground and in the sea and in the air to see that it is actually changing, and it's going to hit us hard.
I'm speaking to Keith Farnish, and his book is Time's Up, and we're now going to plunge into questions that'll challenge all of us, because at one point, Keith lists the three views, self-views he calls them, and each person has to make a decision about what is important, and you'll understand the test. Self-view one, humans are a vital component of life on Earth. Self-view two, humans are part of life on Earth. Self-view three, humans are of little relevance to the rest of life. How do we choose between those? And do you think our global civilization has made that choice, Keith?
In what depends on which area you're looking at. In terms of us being essential to life on Earth, then we are, from a cultural point of view, we are considered to be superior to everything else on Earth. And that goes right back to religious doctrines and the Enlightenment period. So we are told that we are superior to nature, this thing called nature that's separate from us.
Which gives us license to abuse it.
Absolutely. It gives us this psychological ability to disconnect ourselves. But of course we're not. If we don't have a fully functioning natural system, then we die. So that self-view is something that we take at our peril. But also the idea that we're irrelevant, then this is where I disagree with some deep ecologists, is that it's not just a case of knowing, of being humble, but also of knowing within yourself that you are important. In fact, as a human being, you're the most important thing of all. And I use the phrase, what matters is what matters to us.
Because the planet without us, does it have significance, Keith?
I don't believe it does to humans. I mean, of course it has significance in itself, but as human beings, although we can imagine a planet without us, I don't see any way that we can reasonably think of and really have any relevance if we're not there.
That would be a planet of about 7 million to 9 million years ago, before we developed the earliest ancestors we can lay claim to. Keith has recommendations here, so it's not all just gloom, it's not all just give up hope. We're going to come back, and Keith has recommendations at the close of his book, although they're not judgmental. We have a global crisis, a globalization crisis that is not sustainable. Climate change is imminent, whether you want to debate anthropogenic global warming or not. It's certainly going to change the way we raise food and distribute food. And since the vast number of the 6 billion people on the planet are hungry right now, there is something to be done. The book is Time's Up, An Uncivilized Solution to a Global Crisis. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show. I'm continuing with Keith Farnish, the author of Time's Up, An Uncivilized Solution to a Global Crisis. Now, Keith, you're very broad-minded here about recommendations. You believe that we can survive this, but we're not going to survive it. If I read you correctly, we're not going to survive it as a group. We have to survive it in ways that communities can prepare. What do you mean by community? How do we organize a community to survive the crisis?
Well, I'm trying not to be prescriptive here. I've read an awful lot of books. One movement that's particularly significant particularly in Britain, is the transition movement. And I don't have a problem with that, but it's just one different way.
Explain that, please.
Well, the transition movement is an idea of having self-sustaining communities, but based on the idea that there is going to be a lack of oil, and there will be a lack of food, and it's a specific way of gathering people together to achieve a particular aim.
In other words, because we can't sustain the enormous amount of kilocalories necessary to have an iPad and live in a four-story house and drive a car, there are communities that come together to survive with the sufficient kilocalories they can get from around them.
That's right. But I'm not prescriptive about this. We have to recognize that there is no one right way to live, that humans have lived and still do live in many different ways. There are tribes around the world that somehow still manage to cling on, thankfully, and they are living in sustainable ways, but they are living in all sorts of different ways. However, there's this terrible phrase called sustainable development, and if you're talking about development in the industrial world, there is no such thing as sustainable development. Sustainable means you find a way of living in which you're going to leave behind essentially the same as you inherited. So however you do that, you have to bear that in mind, and you can't overdo you can't take more from the system than it can successfully maintain.
And in not taking more from the system than it can maintain, do you do that as an individual or as a community? I mean, do you assign yourself specialized tasks, or are you a jack of all trades?
We all need to be generalists to a certain extent. Community, though, is absolutely vital. Communities naturally have grown up in relatively small numbers. Approximately 100 to 150 appears to be the optimum number of people. And people do take on specific roles. But I think it depends on this, some kind of organic collection of people. They work together. They find their own specialities, and I can't predict how this is going to turn. I can't even tell anyone how to build a community. You have to find that for yourself, and that's something that we're not used to. We're not used to being self-determined. We're used to being told what to do now. So there is a great opportunity.
Now, you do have a recommendation for key skills for whatever the post-civilization looks like, short-term, medium-term, long-term. Short-term, these are just good Boy Scout tactics.
Well, essentially, yes. It's common sense. We've lost an awful lot of these survival skills that through 99% of human history were second nature. They were something that we had to do in order to survive.
Good water, fire making, shelter making, wild food identification, friendship and community spirit, and basic first aid. All good recommendations.
That's right, yes, and all common sense.
The long term is more interesting to me because you're looking at surviving forever, and that what we need is a willingness to learn. Learn what, Keith? What is important going forward, and what can't we do now that we need to learn how to do?
We, at the moment, we're not listening to each other as communities, and we're not listening to ourselves as well. Because we're living this synthetic existence, we're effectively cut off from our natural instincts. So the willingness to learn is something that, it's almost like we have to learn how to learn again. We have to learn how to take in what's important and discard what is irrelevant. So this willingness to learn is essentially, it's really an open-minded attitude to the way we go forward, and that will allow us to adjust as things change.
And here we are in the beginning of the 21st century, and from the climate change and the food sources, I mean, we're talking about severe changes in certain parts of the earth that will affect all of us. The folklore puzzled me, that we need to recover history and folklore. Is that a narrative you're talking about?
It is essentially about learning from the past. We can't just let go of everything that we've learned. I mean, there are certain things that are completely irrelevant, certain technological skills perhaps, and an awful lot of things that we've learned which are negative. But learning from the past is absolutely vital, and especially within the community that we exist. We have to know what worked for other communities and our own community. We can learn from telling stories. And there's a wonderful movement that's starting to develop called the Dark Mountain Project in Britain. It's about using art, it's about using stories and poetry to allow people to learn lessons that they can't learn through other means.
Dark Mountain?
The Dark Mountain, yes. I believe have you spoken to Paul Kingsnorth before?
No, I've not.
He's a very interesting man. He has a lot of very interesting ideas about community as well.
Spell his last name for me.
Kingsnorth.
Kingsnorth, right.
That's right. The idea of the Dark Mountain is about, this folklore idea, this oral tradition that all humans have had for many thousands of years, but we seem to have lost. And it's just about getting that back and learning from those skills that we really need to learn again. And they are wonderful things. The ability to tell stories is so deep within ourselves, and we need to regain that and many other skills.
The book is Time's Up, An Uncivilized Solution to a Global Crisis. Keith Farnish, an environmental writer, he founded the Earth Blog, www.theearthblog.org, in 2006, and he writes on the Unsuit blog, unsuitblog.com. He's a guest and an author on other blogs about making changes that do not, as Keith says, he's not prescriptive. He's just looking at where we are right now and what skills we need to go to the next state. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.